Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, I'm very, very happy to... Actually, I had to take the last couple of weeks off because, you know what, man? Those bars just don't run themselves. And we're going to be talking quite a bit about that today with one of my really good old friends, Jim Kearns. We have worked in the past together, not only at Primeats, but also on other projects, like as far as like event work and stuff like that. And like you're a very busy dude, man.
I always seem to be.
Yeah, I mean, you've been killing it. The thing is, I can't think of any other person in the industry that works as hard as you do.
I can think of a couple.
I don't know.
Jarrett's a pretty hard working guy.
That is true.
That guy defies nature. I don't know how he does it. I don't need a lot of sleep, but I don't think he needs it at all.
I'd mostly agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, so you've got a new project opening up right now, like this week, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay, I want to preface this real quick by saying that I've been in New York City for about 7-8 years now. A good buddy of mine, Ken Paris, great painter. He's done some artwork for me. He's painted one of my guitars. One of his good buddies, Greg, his parents own the Museum of Sex. And I was like, dude, I've never been to the Museum of Sex, but I was always intrigued by that, as any man
any red-blooded man of any sort.
but now there's a bar, this great cocktail bar, opening
Absolutely,
up.
Absolutely, yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of New Yorkers that say, I haven't been to the Museum of Sex, and we are... trying to bring in New Yorkers. We're a street level bar. We're open before the museum opens as a cafe, and we close well after the museum closes at 2 o'clock. So we are open to the public, and
so just full on.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool, man. And like I know that I had Anne Louise from Pernod mm-hmm. Absinthe on mm-hmm. about a month ago.
Oh, cool.
And she was talking about the new formula. Mm-hmm. And I know that there have been a couple of private events there.
Yeah.
And just Monday, we were talking about before, like a month ago on the show, about the new formulation of Pernod Absinthe. And they had the launch party for that, the relaunch, or however you want to call it, on Monday at Play.
Great.
The bar is called Play. Actually, it's a great name for a bar
really
and a sex
is.
Museum.
It really is.
but yeah. So you guys have had some friends and family nights so
mm-hmm.
far.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're having one tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then when do you actually?
We are actually open to the public tomorrow night.
That's awesome.
This couldn't be timed better.
Exactly. But it's really cool to have a venue like that, especially you know as far as like. Other events and other places like venues rather to hold great cocktail events and have bars and like it's become like a thing where for instance like let me back up a little bit here. Just recently mm-hmm. you were at the Nomad
mm-hmm.
and there's like a resurgence of cocktail bars
mm-hmm.
in the hotels, like hotel bars.
Yeah.
Which back in the day was like, that's where you would go to get a good cocktail.
Right. Of course. You know,
that was a place. It wasn't like a freestanding bar. It'd be a hotel bar.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this idea of a lot of museums starting to actually have, you know, just going along with the progression of restaurants opening in great museums. Now it's like, it just goes with the same style, like the same progression of like opening a great
right.
cocktail bar.
Sure. I think, you know, if you open a food and beverage program now. And I mean, I think a lot of museums are embracing that because it's another great outlet and a way to sort of promote the museum and the restaurant. They kind of work together. It's a great combo. I actually say every day I go to work and I think about booze, sex, and art, and, and I get paid for it. So couldn't be a whole lot better there. But it's actually, I don't know how you could open a restaurant, food and beverage operation in this day and age in New York without having a serious cocktail program. So it's a matter of seeing, you know, this thing that we all started on 8, 9, 10 years ago, just sort of broadening and broadening and getting to the point where it's just something that people expect of a program when they go to a place.
Yeah. To go back to that, like the last time, I love that we're actually getting to talk one-on-one here, because last time you were on the show, which was about maybe a year ago.
It sounded like a rock band in a hotel room.
Oh, my
room.
God. Yeah, it pretty much was. It was, there's probably like 10 people in the yep. studio, which I think is probably, we probably hold the record for the most people in the studio, but it was for the Tiki All-Stars night. I think, well, what I was thinking about with this is that, you know, like you said, you know, you can't really half-ass anything these days.
No.
You know, every hotel, even retail stores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a very sharp dressed man. Like, you can't see this on the radio show right now, but he's
as
he's,
are you. I love the Canadian tuxedo today.
Well, you know, you wear three pieces of really fine wool suits, but I wear three different types of denim. the thing is, like, even like with retail stores, like clothing stores, like there's always like a cocktail program, like with the opening nights and like different like parties mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You know, hell, even like my band played last summer at the John Varvatos place, and
yeah,
like Willie Shine and like Dominic awesome. Sinega, yeah. like did the whole cocktail program for it. It was like crazy. It was like a retail store. But like, what I'm trying to say is like there, it's now it's become, and thankfully for us,
yeah,
seriously, absolutely. Like that we actually have not only for us, but for everyone, that you can actually go somewhere and expect you have there's a higher level of yeah. expectation.
Everyone, yeah, it's like everyone who likes good stuff can actually go out and get it now. And I remember when I opened Maya Well with Phil Ward, him saying New Yorkers love cocktails, and it really is true. I think, you know, like people go somewhere, and if they know that it has a cocktail program, they're really into it. And I mean,
yeah, you know,
we yeah.
So, okay, so let's talk about this for a second. Like, I before we get like too much into this, what is the enchilada about?
The enchilada was it was a really funny name given to a drink that was basically there are all these sort of shots or drinks that bartenders drink behind the bar that really don't go across the bar because they're just meant to sort of be shared between us. And the enchilada started basically as a little shot of beer, basically with lime and salt in it, and it was funnily named, I think, by Adam Ramsey. I think he came up with the name for it. But basically, it was like the idea of having a chilada, which is lime, beer, and with a salt rim, but all in one glass. So it was enchilada. And like, so it was like you put the lime and like the salt in the beer and you slug.
Yeah.
And there you go.
I always thought it was like an inch tall chilada.
Yeah, well, we started off Maya Well, and Kevin Denton and I had this thing where we would basically, we called it the nickel beer. So we would just take a little chilled glass and split up a Modelo. And nice. It was perfect because it was a great bartender drink because it was a cold beer that was always cold because it was so small.
Yeah, totally. It's great. I love that.
Yeah.
So, okay, now we can get serious again. But going back to the bar play, which is opening tomorrow, there is, it's kind of like steeped in a lot of rumors, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of expectation mm-hmm. and a lot of everyone I've talked to, and especially for myself, it's like I have like some pretty high expectations of this place. Knowing you
yeah,
and knowing the bars that you've too. And like and I always say like, goddamn, like Jim Kearns, if he's working there, man, it's gonna be good. You know? You've helmed a lot of
really the top shelf bars in New York City.
I've worked a few places, yeah.
You worked a few places. And can you tell us a little bit about like some of the different techniques or like the bar, like the cocktail style that's going to go into this place?
Well, it's funny, I love coming up with cocktails, but oftentimes when you're just working and executing cocktails in a bar, your time to do that is limited. And I always love working with you because you would always just say, let's bring it to a place of coming up with a drink. Let's make something with this tonight. And you'd pull out some bizarre ass bottle and we'd be like, okay, fuck it. That can be a cocktail. Sure. Why not? And what I've discovered in the last couple months since I've been at Play is that if I have 2 months on salary to just come up with drinks and workshop and have fun and play, I mean, that is really it's the theme of the place.
Pun intended.
And pun absolutely intended. It's the theme of the place. It's what we do, and it's what I've been doing. I really get a lot done. I come up with a lot of stuff. So we've got a 24 cocktail menu launching. It is an ambitious thing, and what we're doing is we're going basically from sort of more linear, classic-inspired cocktails all the way to molecular, weird stuff that I think really unique and maybe hasn't been done before or isn't done a lot anyway. So we have the menu is divided into three. Sort of, the cocktail list anyway is divided into three sort of groups of eight cocktails. So there's Demure, Curious, and Kinky. Demure is like the classic inspired stuff. Curious is kind of in the middle, and Kinky is the really weird out of the box stuff. And I really, really feel that if you give people a lot of options, they tend to sort of blank out. If you direct them to some extent and you give them kind of guidelines or, you know, a sort of way to understand the menu, they'll digest it better. So that's kind of the goal there. Some of the stuff we're doing is like a mushroom infused cachaça with tomato water and fish sauce cocktail, for instance. I mean,
Sounds awesome. We are
embracing umami and savory in a huge way. And that's a real directive that both myself and Brendan Spiro, who's the masthead producer kind of god of the project, have come up with as we've workshopped cocktails and gone out and done R&D. And I think it's something that's not done enough in cocktails, that people, you know, really, that it's something that drink can do, and it can accompany food and kind of just do a lot more than, you know, just sort of like having cocktails that are sort of in the sort of aperitif or dessert kind of mode. You can have drinks that read in a slightly different way.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I feel like there's, man, I hate to be this dude to say this, but, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about, actually, like when we worked together, we definitely talked about this a lot, but like, there's like strong classics.
You know? Of course.
And you know, we're always tweaking those classics.
Yep. If you don't have a root in the classics, it's like any other medium, you know, where you sort of, you think, okay, well, to do music, you have to know theory, but then you have to know when to break with theory. You have to understand what the structures are and use those as templates, and then eventually you can kind of...
Absolutely. And it's even like you said before, like Phil Ward, he calls it playing Miss Potato Head.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, like changing out, like, you know, you take it, like the format of a Negroni,
mm-hmm.
for instance. You can change out, you've got gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth, right? Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. You take that base spirit, like gin, you can swap it out with bourbon or rye, you know, then also you've got like a Boulevardier.
Mm-hmm.
You can take that Campari, which is your bitter, and swap it out with something else, like, say, you know, Chinar, or Bitter Truth EXR, or something like that. Then you take that vermouth, change it out for something like Lillet, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what? That formula works every time. What's cool about this, what we've talked about mostly in the past, is like taking those formulas, but kind of like putting them off to the side, knowing
right,
the respect that we have for them.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, going over here and go to the kitchen and being right. Like, hey, man,
yeah,
what do you have over here? What do
yeah,
you got for me?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like it, there, and I love going to the kitchen. I love that, like, that idea of kind of suggesting a food stuff in a drink. So, I mean, there are a couple of those, definitely toward the kinky side of things on the menu. Like, I've got like a, almost like a duck two ways kind of sidecar. So it's a sidecar, but I'm fat washing, cognac with, duck confit fat and herbs de Provence, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'm doing candied orange peel and an orange oleo sacrum, which is like a very
duck l'orange.
Yeah, kind of yeah, it's like a, yeah. It's like duck l'orange, exactly. There's going to be Coke and popcorn.
awesome.
yeah, exactly. Who doesn't like that?
You know, that kind of like that kind of wears me out because I think about like Coca-Cola and popcorn in like. Especially with the Museum of Sex, like makes exactly. me think about like one of those theaters. Yep. That we'll talk about that here in a second.
The drink's called Drive-In Saturday.
well, as it should be, as it should be called. But let's we're gonna take a quick break. We're in the middle of the show, so let's take a quick break and we'll get back to talking about a play, the new bar that's opening up tomorrow with Jim Kearns. Back in a moment.
It'll knock you down, hit you straight on your knees. Dollar show.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years, so it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
You are listening to Desperate Man by Brothers NYC. Keep it locked on Heritage Radio Network.
We are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy, and I'm just, again, I have to say that I'm very, very happy to have my good buddy, Jim Kearns, in the studio today. And
I'm so happy to be here.
Dude, you know what? It's been too long. Yeah, but really I understand has. Because you've been like opening up this new bar. And the thing about opening up a lot of, like opening up bars or restaurants or any business in general is that you don't have enough time to play. But that's the great thing about this bar. It's like, you know, well, first of all, because it's played, you know, it's called play. Right. But some of my favorite bars, and I know you and I feel this way pretty heavily,
mm-hmm.
and we've talked about it so much, man.
Yeah, we have.
We've done a lot of shop talking, like after hours, you know, like or even like when we're on the job,
mm-hmm.
talking about how, like what the perfect bar might be.
Right.
You know? And, you know, even though you and I have worked in the cocktail, like the kind of button up cocktail world mm-hmm. a lot, you know, for many years, we always agree that our favorite bars and our favorite kind of bar is mm-hmm. the place that you're just sitting there having a beer and a glass of whiskey.
Like we are.
Like we're doing right now. This is my favorite bar right now.
Right.
The Speakeasy Studio. But like, there's a certain thing, there's a certain way that you can approach making a bar happen, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, that is kind of perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that is by just making sure that people are having fun.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And we have so many opportunities for that. We sort of view the project as like a maker's community in a way. Like we have guest cocktails done by artists of various disciplines. We have two of them launching within the month. One of them is by a guy named Bart Hess, who's very into textures and tactility. And we had a plate specially fabricated for this drink that you're essentially intended to lick off of the plate. It feels like alien embryo skin. And yeah, it's such an odd experience, and it's so intimate to lap something up. I don't know if I'd ever done it before I started prototyping this drink. We also have Bompas and Parr, who are this duo of artists out of London who view themselves as, they call themselves jellymongers. So commonly they do architectural jelly molds, and they will like build cityscapes. Like they did the city of London in jelly, in alcoholic jelly, and hacked it up with sashimi knives and served it to people. So they're doing a project for us called Crush Porn, or with us called Crush Porn, because again, it's about collaboration and play. So the Crush Porn project is where we get archetypes, celebrities, et cetera, in, and we film them crushing grapes with their feet. First, they're given a foot cleaning, then they're given a foot massage, a pedicure, and they get this whole foot pampering treatment.
How do I sign up for this? I mean, no one wants to have any like grape juice off my feet, but I'm down for the massage, man.
Yeah, man, I need it too. I more than anything.
Yeah, I'm sure you're the one that needs the most.
So yeah, Emily Baltz, who's the creative director behind the project, and she's a food artist, and she's tremendous. Is hooking up all these artists, and curating. You know
what? That's the thing. It's like I heard. Mm-hmm. I've definitely heard about her. Like,
mm-hmm. Just absolutely.
Killing it. Like, yeah. She's a creative director.
Amazing, yeah. Yeah, her and Brendan, you know, and Dan Gluck, who's the owner of the museum, are like, they're such enthusiastic supporters of this project.
Just like,
and
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard that it's like visually just like...
tremendous.
Just
yeah.
Weird and awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, yeah, we're curating this whole roster of people to have come and crush grapes to make this drink that Bompas and Parr have engineered. And what's going to happen is you're going to get like a little video monitor at your table, whether it's an iPod Touch or what have you, with the cocktail that you've chosen to drink someone's foot juice, essentially.
That's kinky. That's on the kinky yeah, part of the
exactly,
menu, right?
Exactly. Well, crush porn references an entire genre of porn. It also references foot fetishism. So, yeah, you have all of that. That's kind of what it's all about. We're into playing these cheeky little games where, you know, you may read something on the menu as like being this drink, and then you get it and you are completely surprised by what you're getting. And there are all kinds of opportunities for interaction in the place. There's we have all these artist altered books. It's a library format bar. But the books have been sort of altered by artists. Some have and some haven't. And so you might open one up and find like origami or whatever, and then it sort of inspires you to maybe have that same interaction with the books in the place. And I think the drinks are a lot of fun. I think the program's a lot of fun. It's really exciting.
That's awesome, man. You know what, man? Just when you think that everything has been done
mm-hmm.
in the bar scene, then something like this comes along. I'm so psyched to go to it. You know, and first of all, like, you know, I think there's a, you know, like, I haven't been there yet, but like,
that's going to change soon.
I worked at one, yeah, I'm probably going to go there like right after this.
Awesome.
You're doing a friends and family, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm a friend and family, right?
Yes, you are.
All right, cool. Well, I'm probably going to go over there after this then. But I remember like one of the first bars I worked at in New York City, and I remember like meeting this girl that was, she was like she was an escort.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the hell are you doing in this weird little Japanese bar that I'm working at? And she's like, hanging out. Hanging out with this dude. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm kind of sidetracking a little bit here. But I was like, what the fuck? Okay, so it was kind of like a mind-blowing experience, because I was like, okay, so you're hanging out with this dude. You're going on a date with this dude. And she was like, dude, I'm going to the Museum of Sex, taking this dude there. And this is before I even met anyone that worked at the Museum of Sex. And she was like, yeah. It's like, we're going on our first date. And I was like, wait, but you're an escort. And I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, what the hell's going on here? And she's like, no, this is actually a dude that I'm going to date. I'm like,
date.
This is a fucking weird city, man. It takes a weird city to fucking open up a bar in a fucking sex museum.
Yeah, it does. And it's, we're so articulate and trying so hard to like get away from that, what people, I mean, we work in the restaurant yeah. industry, so we traffic in the 13-year-old boy sex joke kind of thing, and we're trying to pull it away from that and make it more about sensuality and experience and kind
that's
of...
That's exactly right.
That's exactly
what it sounds like.
So much articulation goes into presenting the concept. It's really interesting.
Dude, I love that. I love that. I mean, especially like what we were talking about before. It's like, what we were talking about before the show. You know, there are so many cocktail bars that are snooty, and then there are other bars that like we like hanging out mm-hmm. at that are just like beer and shot places. Mm-hmm. You know, well, every bartender actually likes going to the beer and shot joint.
I've been asked what my favorite cocktail is before, and or after work cocktail anyway, and I've said a beer and a shot, beer and a shot. Every time.
Every time. Across the board, that's what everyone says. But dude, I want to go to this place just because, like, I mean, I feel like it's my scene.
It should be everybody's scene. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
Dude,
yeah.
I mean, there's also, I had an emailed question in from the radio station earlier. It was like, do you use dildos as mufflers?
No, we are not doing penis straws. We are not doing booby necklaces. We are not doing dildo so mufflers.
Let's squash
there
that.
Is, yeah, there is an amazing, that I always call it the Apple Store of sex shops. There's a great gift shop attached to the museum, and it's. I strongly encourage anyone to go check it out because there's a lot of really nice stuff in there, and it's presented very well, and it gives you a sense of kind of how we're presenting ourselves as well, in that we are attached to this entity, and people are going to come in with certain expectations, but we are not that place where we're going to get into the cock and ball jokes and that kind of thing. Are there cheeky games? Yes. Are there fuck bars in the bathrooms? Yes. But we are not that corny place that's ever going to do that kind of thing.
You know what? Getting back to the, because we only have a few minutes left, but getting back to the actual bar side of it, because that's what this show's about. I'm really, really psyched about this. Not only because I want to go to this awesome bar. I trust your management style and your mixology style. Well, and you know, we've been friends for a long time.
That's flattering because I feel the same way.
Well, thank you. I can't wait to come get some of those drinks. And also check out the place because, like, God, I've heard like so many good things, like even before it's even open.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
But what I'm also really psyched about is the fact that every time we talk about the progression of bars on this show, and just when you think that we've like hit the certain like kind of ceiling, it's like we just blew the roof off of it, and it's like you can have an awesome fucking kick ass. You know what, I'm just going to sidebar this real quick. I love the fact that we can curse so much on this show. But continuing here.
On the radio.
That you can actually, like, there are, like, no boundaries.
No, and it's about, it's also about finding where those boundaries are and eliminating them. And I love the juxtaposition of high and low. I love the ability to kind of tweak boundaries and play with them and kind of fuck with people's heads a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this place, I hope will do that. I think it will. When I opened Gold Bar, in 2007, and it was kind of a great thing to see, like, okay, this is a club venue, but at the same time we have this amazing cocktail program, and we're really doing artisanal, fine crafted stuff here.
And that was pretty progressive.
Yeah, it really was. And so it's just taking all this stuff and doing it in different venues and with, you know, project directors like we've had on this thing. I mean, this has been a very long genesis on this project. It's just the concept has become so exciting and so well articulated and so fun and so boundary breaking. I'm really, really excited about it.
Well, you know what, man? I will say this, that Jim, you've been at the forefront of so many of the cocktail movements. Every like tier of it, you know, you've definitely like pushed a lot of boundaries with a lot of different places, you know, and it's not necessarily just the way that it was like curated from like a group, but like you've definitely like kicked a lot of ass on making some bar programs happen and just like bringing out new ideas. And for the world, we're very, you know, I'm just gonna go on speak on behalf of the world. We're very thankful for that. And dude, I mean, like, just in the same way that like that you have, I will say, like, brought it to the world for the clientele, the customers and everything. You've also brought it insular, like the enchilada.
So, well, I love the idea. My parents got me into food. Yeah, I love the idea that you can go to a really like hole in the wall, like Thai or Vietnamese place and have an incredible meal. And certainly, of course, you can go to a fine dining restaurant and have an incredible meal, but you don't necessarily have to be in some kind of like highfalutin place to have that kind of experience. You can actually eat amazing things everywhere, and if you know where to look. And I've always loved the idea since I got into the cocktail movement that if you go to a good bar that's well run and well curated, you should be able to have either a great neat spirit, a great wine, a great beer, a great cocktail. And those are all things that we've really, really embraced, and great food too. We have this chef Ben Roche out of Chicago who worked at Modo, and he's amazing. I would encourage anybody to look up YouTube videos of him because he's hilarious and creative.
Oh yeah, I've seen him, man. They're great.
He's phenomenal. His food is great. So I feel like this is the concept that I've, you know, been interested in for so long, where it's just all things well done and it's not fussy. It's just good.
Dude, you know what, man? I'm going to definitely come there. Like at least, you know, like three times this week.
Awesome.
But I want to say, like, in parting, that this concept, like, this is like kind of a higher concept than a lot of people have ever done.
Yeah,
you know. Very much so, right?
Yeah.
And it's just so
it's out of the box in a big way.
I feel like all the time on this show I always say, like, I often say that it's just like such an exciting time.
Mm-hmm. It is
for food and beverage.
It really is.
And if I say that every week, man, we're going in the right direction.
We are.
It's always more and more exciting. We are. And I'm so proud of you, man.
Thank you so much.
And I'm so proud of like this opening. And I can't wait to go hang out there. And man, it's great to have you on the show again.
Thank you, man. I'm happy to be here.
Please come back.
I really appreciate it. I definitely will. We've talked about this so many times. I'm so happy to finally be here again.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the studio is always open, you know.
Awesome.
So that's it for the show today. All right. Go visit Play. Where is it?
1 East 27th Street. We are adjacent to the Museum of Sex. We are basically between the Gershwin Hotel and the Museum of Sex bookstore, gift shop.
Killer. God damn it, come back sometime. You know what, I want you to come back like in 3 months.
Fucking A, man. Absolutely.
I want to get the recap, man.
We didn't even get to talk about the fun of opening nights and all the glitz and glamour that goes into this.
Oh yeah.
So I would love to come back and do that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how at least we will hear how worn down Jim Kearns is after opening up this crazy place. But until then, cheers, buddy.
Salud.
That's it for the speakeasy. You've been listening to Jim Kearns, and I don't even need to tell you my name.
Mr. Damon Bolte.
Rhythm and blues, that's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.